Mai. How you doing?
I'm fabulous, Bryce. Yourself?
Yeah, very well. Look, I'm not a smoker, but to me, I'm interested to hear about it because I know it's a very addictive thing. And so you're saying, well, what you've wrote about this research that's been done in the US, and apparently the money was only about, was it $750 US? And you reckon it's made people three times more likely to stop smoking?
Yeah, Bryce, look, smoking is super addictive. It's a horrible habit, and most of the people smoking will tell you that it's, you know, they wish they'd never started or they wish they could quit. And it's not a novel concept, paying people to quit smoking. It's been done quite a bit around the world. Australia, we just haven't tried it yet until now. So we've just finished a Tasmanian trial with pregnant women who smoke. I can't tell you all the results yet, we've found that, yeah, on average, about $550 worth of vouchers. We've got these women who are desperately trying to quit but find it hard to do so, have got them to quit using incentives.
Really? And that's pretty fascinating, considering you would think that being pregnant is a pretty big reason to stop smoking. And so it was money that was the final sort of, oh, actually, you know what? Yeah, far out.
Well, it's actually not. So most of the women that we had in the study, yeah, they came into the study because, wow, it sounds pretty cool that, you know, might be able to get a voucher out of this. Mm. But all the women who were able to quit during our study were saying, look, it's got nothing to do with the money. It was just having someone in the corner, someone who was, you know, wagging a carrot in front of our face rather than a stick, saying, you know, I'll give you something. It was positive. I'll give you a reward if you are able to quit. So our ladies were saying to us, it was actually just having someone there being supportive and talking to us monthly, that was the incentive. Now, these women want to quit, and they've got enough stigma in society to give them all the reasons for why they shouldn't quit. I think the incentive bit was just short-term rewards rather than long-term struggle.
Really? Has there been evidence sort of in general that would suggest we maybe need to be a bit more positive with smokers? Because you would think, like, the majority of stuff you see, I don't think I've ever seen a friendly pat on the back smoking ad. It's always, you know, this will kill you and this is it, which is, I mean, it is true, but it's all very graphic and very, very brutal. What kind of effect has that had? And maybe do you think it would be a bigger effect if we went on the positive route?
Yeah, absolutely. We know fear campaigns are highly, you know, they're out there, but they're actually not very effective. All the research points to the fact that these really graphic warnings and stuff, they're actually really not that effective at all. What women need and what people trying to quit smoking, what they need are ways of helping them quit smoking. So strategies, helpful strategies. And pregnancy it adds an extra layer of difficulty, because often they're not sure what they can use to quit smoking. You know, can I use patches? Is that dangerous during while I'm pregnant? Is nicotine bad for me? I mean, the general consensus is, and amongst the Australian Medical Association, patches, things like that to help you quit are certainly far better for you than continuing to smoke. But there's so much misunderstanding around that. You think of any health behaviour, you know, we know that we shouldn't be overweight. We know we shouldn't sit and drink beers in front of the TV for 8 hours a day. Being told that that's not a good thing doesn't make us stop doing it. Mm. It's having useful strategies, and the reason incentives works is because you're getting regular positive feedback, rewards for doing something that's actually a really difficult thing, and you might not actually see rewards until later on in life when you don't have, you know, lung cancer.
And it sounds like maybe this is a strategy you could apply to getting people to not even take up smoking in the first place.
It's a little bit more difficult to do so. So, Bryce, with all the incentive stuff around smoking, the people have to demonstrate that they've quit. We're not just going to give money away for not doing something. So they have to demonstrate that. I think what you're also referring to, there are other strategies in place to try and stop people taking it up in the first place. And that's certainly something that needs to be considered. But as you said there in the intro, we still need to do something about the 2.6 million people in Australia who are smoking, and the majority want to quit and they haven't found a way that they can do it.
How do you think we could apply this on a larger scale? Because obviously it's going to cost a bit of money to do it. To be fair, it is a lot less money than the amount that, you know, health conditions associated with smoking is costing us. But how do you think we could roll this out onto a national scale?
Oh, look, great question. Very hard to roll anything out on a national scale. Let's not go there. I'm in a pretty neat place at Tasmania, and, would really love to be able to run this as a statewide trial, even just starting in pregnancy first. We've got you know, one health system and one university institution. So that might be a neat fit, but we'll see how that goes. I think start small, even in communities, might work. But I just love even a conversation around it. At the moment, you know, no one's touching it so much because it seems to be controversial. But, you know, as you say, it's, even though it sounds like, you know, we're giving money to people for doing a bad behaviour, which is we're spending a lot more money on trying to fix the problems that smoking has caused. So is it really that controversial?
Yeah, and just quickly before I let you go, there was a bit of talk recently about maybe, I know Andrew Forrest, he's come out and said that maybe we should increase the smoking age to 21. Does that sound like something that would work in your opinion?
Look, it might work for some. We've stopped people smoking in cars with their kids. That might have stopped people. We've increased taxes. That stopped people. Everyone quit smoking for a different reason. Certainly, raising the age to 21, it takes into account that we, you know, as I'm a young person myself, we do most of our stupid stuff before we're 21 or 25. So
yeah,
it sort of talks to the fact that, you know, don't take up a habit while you still can't, you know, realise what's appropriate to put on Instagram. So that's one good thing. And, it might send a message out there that, you know, hey, this is not an okay thing. And I support any measure, however novel it is, that's been shown to be effective and safe to try and get people to quit.
Yeah, I like that. I like that Instagram point. I think that's just a general life rule. Don't do anything drastic until you've learnt to, moderate.
Until you're 25. Exactly right. There's a bumper sticker right there.
Oh, exactly. Well, hey, Mai, thank you so much for your time. It's been very, very fascinating.
Thanks for your time, Bryce.